right, time for another draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but can't find the debaters. So, I left off on subjects worthy of debate, that need to be debated, that should be debated, that science is kind of demonstrating how it's all just a religion, because it doesn't involve itself in dealing with any of the counter-arguments. They just try to dismiss it, make it all go away, because they don't want to have to deal with the fact that they might have something wrong. Whether we call them liars or cheaters or just stupid or fools. So whether you're a liar or a fool, okay, if you're a defender of the conventional babble, it doesn't really matter, right? They both suck as things to be. And the fact is that's coward. Throw that in, too. Cowardly liar or cowardly fool. Because these arguments aren't that complicated. You don't have to do a whole bunch of research to understand. And so I really shouldn't have to do all this crap. So anyway, we'll do a little bit of the history. So we're going to talk about light. Okay, so the history is Newton did two experiments. Okay, he did an impediment experiment and a opening experiment. Okay, you shine light across an impediment and you get bars. Okay, you shine light through an opening and you get bars of light. Okay. Now, a key feature is that the center bar is twice as big. And now, Newton didn't do a whole bunch of analysis of this. He didn't have an explanation. Just notice that it does happen. Okay, then around, so that's in the 1600s. All right, so then later, Thomas Young shows up 100 years later, okay, and he does the two-slit experiment, which you can sort of understand is just taking the impediment, sticking it in between the two slit, the other impediment, okay, so this, the classic two-slit experiment would involve this kind of arrangement. Okay, so you're going to shine the light through, and then you're going to create a pattern. Now, Thomas Young did this experiment, and his analysis was that this is what's happening. You know, waves are coming out, you know, straight lines go in. This is how the traditional drawing, this is how they all the physicists, this is what they talk, this crap. I'm sorry, this shit, I mean, this garbage. So, and that these waves are interfering just like water. Now, the fact is, it isn't just like water. In the case of the single slit, for example, water, you know, you put plane waves in and you get a little round wave out. And that's for physical reasons, because the water sticks to the surface, it sticks to itself, slows down, that's why it comes out round. Now, no reason to think light does any of these things. Okay, so it doesn't match. For the single slit, you don't get any interference in water with a single opening. And this pattern itself doesn't match, okay, because the pattern you get, okay, if you do this two wave thing, okay, you'll just get this, all right, that's all you get, and you won't have a double. So in light, in water, you get agitation, 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 quiet, 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 okay, you won't get a double central maxima, this won't be twice the size. Okay, so that's a missing feature. But otherwise, yes, you will get an on-off pattern, the simplest pattern in the universe. All right, but it's not anything like an exact match. Now, the actual double slit pattern, okay, if you do it with lasers and you do it kind of carefully, you'll notice that you're going to get a pattern that's going to be distinctly not consistent with two waves. All right, it's going to be a complex pattern, okay, and so I'll draw it as dots, but you could draw it as anything, and I'll do five just to, all right, so you're going to find certain features that are going to be consistent, you know, you do the experiment over and over again, you'll get these certain features will show themselves, that this is always an odd number, all right, and that these are half of that amount of distance, so this will be essentially twice the size in the center, okay, and then these, all the other nodes, so to speak, if you can see them, they'll go out in the same manner, they'll all be the same size, okay, three 3, 3, 3, 3, and these will be 5. Indicating 6 is the total, and this 5 just means that these two in the center are technically overlapping, and you just can't see that. But anyway, we won't go into that kind of detail. But that's the actual pattern it creates, okay? It's this complex pattern, all right? And the physicists just ignore that. They pretend it doesn't exist in their analysis because this doesn't explain it. Two waves won't make this pattern's going here, to be accurate. This is the center of the pattern. It's not perfect, is it? Well, I seldom do this perfectly. Anyway, so this doesn't work. It doesn't really explain the pattern. And what, you could deduce just from the Newtonian experiment that if there is something happening, it's probably happening here at the surfaces. This is the key ingredient. And so Thomas Young should have figured out that this, and this are what's creating the pattern. So what they did, to fix the fact that this didn't match this, is they argued that, you're supposed to do this experiment with these surfaces really, really close to each other. So you're supposed to do the double slit pattern by, making the slits infinitesimally small. Okay, now the other trick you could do is you could make this impediment infinitesimally small. So you could do the experiment, with big slits, but with a tiny little center. And what that does is it basically annihilates two of the point sources, where you have four sources here. Okay, you only have three sources here. Alright. You're changing how many places that this action is happening. How many? So you can really understand that when you make the slits really small, you're basically saying these two point sources are the same source. So you're taking a four-source experiment and turning into a two-source experiment. Two-source experiment, you're back to single slits. And then the pattern can match because you're just going back to this pattern. You're just recreating you're just doing the envelope, as they call it. So that's what happens when you make these slits infinitesimally small. But if you make them natural, you make them some sort of realistic amount of opening, they will get this more complex pattern. And the more complex pattern can be understood, let me just redraw. That will be a good plan. I like it as a plan. Maybe try a different marker because this one isn't that great. But anyway, be back. So point sources. If you just understand the experiment as places where light is being scattered, okay, you can understand, that the scatter could be in any one of these directions from the four point sources. All right. And if you do the math, okay, the fact is it's like you're bringing two single slits together. So it's not like you're bringing two, Alright, so just saying, if you do the math understanding that, then you can understand that this distance between two point sources is very different than this distance between two sources, right? You got very different distances in here. You have a third distance here to here, and another distance here to here. Okay, and these are all just ideas of places where you could be throwing something from these locations. And the fact is that if they have to be in phase, that is, if you have a signal that has a specific distance between each object, okay, a period, okay, that'd be the wavelength, that if you throw from these different distances, right, your wavelength is going to be different. So they all throw at the same time. You're going to understand at any one point, this line would be a certain length, this line would be a certain length, okay, and it could be a wavelength of difference. But this line might be 1.5 wavelengths, right? So this one is going to be showing up, okay? When everybody else is on, that pattern is now like this, okay? It's in between that other pattern. So it's not in phase. It's not in the same sequence, so it won't hit at the same time. So if you need them to all three or all four hit at the same time, all right, to knock this over, let's say. Say this only gets knocked over if it gets four balls, hits it from the same time. Well, you can see if they're out of phase, then that's not going to happen, right? And it's only at certain locations, like right next to it here, all four of them do match. So all four of them be back in phase. So you basically just move this ahead. So now it's in phase again. These line up, these dots. So now your period between is the same. So you haven't changed the period. So you have an in phase, and now you'll knock the thing over because all four will be hitting at the right time. Now they don't have to hit at the same time. I mean, photons are more complicated than that. They hit a surface, you know, over a period, they hit this piece of the surface, and then a tiny bit of time later they hit here, and then a tiny bit of time later they hit here. And that's what causes the ability to create more velocity in the electron. Yeah, this marker is nice, but it just doesn't last. So, alright, back. Okay, so it's just, you know, it just could be understood. Like I said, this is their physics, okay? But they don't really want to talk about the fact that you can understand phase as being a mechanical thing, okay? It's just a timing issue, and you don't need waves to understand something has a sequence or a phase. Like I said, Morse code has a sequence, you know, dot and dashes, and they come at the right time, and blah, blah, blah. You know, space in between. And you know, so you can understand lots of things can be in phase or out of phase, and it doesn't have anything to do with waves. Okay, so, and that's what they want to convert it into. Alright, so I'll do one more drawing just to emphasize the point. Alright, so in water, okay, single slits don't produce interference. So I make a little, you know, I drop a rock in water. I just get consistent waves coming out. They're not interfering with each other in any way. There's no interference in a single water wave. It just comes out because this, right? So if I move two of these together, so that's the idea in some of these arguments people will make, you know, that you have two single slit patterns, okay, but there's no pattern, all right, in water. And so you're bringing two these things together, and now you can create interference because now you have two sources. Now, what I'm clearly arguing is that that's not the right way to look at it at all, and that what you really have in light, okay, is that you do have two patterns. So the single slit does create a pattern by itself, just the bars, okay, the double center, and then bar, and then bar. Okay, so if I bring two single slits together, you can understand that it's going to be two of the same patterns together, right? But the trick is that's not what you get, right? You don't get these same bar sizes just overlap each other. So I bring them really close. I bring this slit really close to this slit. It's, you know, just a little difference between them. You can understand that, you know, you're projecting it on a screen, it's much larger than its actual distance, and it's only a 1 millimeter of distance that the two patterns should essentially be right on top of each other. So if I move these two openings right next to each other to create a double slit, all right, that technically one pattern should just be a little tiny bit different than the other pattern, right? Just a little bit off, one little half millimeter, you know. So it wouldn't be even a noticeable difference, and the two patterns should just sit there and overlap like that. But that's if you thought of the pattern as just being created by, you know, some sort of wave mechanics. If you understand that, no, it's the baseballs. It's throwing baseballs off these surfaces, okay? It's throwing little quanta, little pieces of light. Just pieces of a photon. Not the whole photon, just pieces of a photon. All right, and that's what you're doing. Then you're going to understand when you're bringing these two together, this is what you're doing, is you're changing the distance between these two surfaces, and you're changing the distance between these two surfaces. So as you bring them together, now this baseball can actually reach the same location that this one does, right? When they're far apart, you're not going to get anything here because there's not enough pieces that are going to make it from here to here to here to here. As you bring them closer and closer, more and more pieces, okay, more and more of these baseballs, you know, throw it from all the way over, you know, I mean, I shouldn't have to explain that the higher the angle, the less photon pieces you're going to get. So there's more probability that the photon, little piece, goes through and it gets bent a little bit. So a lot get bent a little bit. Very few get bent a lot. Okay, because to get bent a lot means you, technically, I would argue, it means you have to hit a lot of electrons. And you have to have a lot of impacts to be able to bend a lot. And so more will could be going this way. You know, I'll make that dark. You know, more go here, and less and less and less and less go at those higher angles. Okay. So once you understand, so I bring these two together, you know, and create the real slit pattern. And then you can just understand that, yeah, all it is these distances. I mean, all you have is this distance and this distance, okay, or the smallest distance, wherever you want to find that. And the fact is that you can understand that those are, that distance contains all of these phase changes. So all of the phase changes you want to create are already built in, okay, to the proximity. So you can just say that, yes, there's a certain number of places where this line, okay, from this source and this one from this source are full wavelengths of difference. And that difference is going to be just in that, the distance. So there'll be a point here and a point here and a point here and a point here and a point here. And you're going to understand it as just being a consequence of the distance. So I can just sit there and take these two sources, the two furthest away, and I can understand that everywhere on this arc, okay, there's a place where this is a full wavelength of difference. And you can see that right here. I mean, whoops, sorry, right here in this distance, right? This distance is telling you basically exactly, okay, how many places there can be a wavelength of difference. There's going to be a wavelength of difference in the number of times there are places here, the wavelength of difference in this distance. So if you know this distance, you just figure out how many wavelengths fit in there, and you know that that's half of this equation, this side of the arc. Okay, so you're just going like this. You're taking a line from this, and you're just moving it up this way. And as you do that, you can just say, okay, well, each one of these distances is essentially that line. This distance, this distance, this distance, this distance. So you can just go from the distance, it'll tell you exactly how many nodes, okay, how many of these little bars there'll be. And they do get technically a little thicker here. So they start off at this size here, and they get pretty thick by the time they get down here. But the number will be exactly, okay, the number represented by how many wavelengths you can fit in the distance, this physical distance. So there's the, you know, so they teach this stuff like this pattern is mysterious and that we don't know how many there are and it's an infinite number, you know, that they could go forever, okay, but they don't, okay, there's a finite number of locations and it's just geometry. And they pretend, okay, that there's something happening in here and everything's superimposed and there's entanglement taking place and the wave doesn't know where it is and the photon doesn't know where it is and all this mysterious stuff is happening here in the atmosphere. Nothing's happening here in the atmosphere. Photons don't interact with photons. You can't bang a laser beam off of a laser beam. They don't interact with each other. You can't do anything in this space. All you can do is change what lands at a location. And again, it's just about the phase. It's just about the sequence of the landing. If they land like this in phase, you get a photon. If they land this way, no photon, because these two don't match. They're out of phase. And you have a 50-50. So let's say you just did this experiment as a thought experiment. You just said, okay, I'm throwing baseballs, you know, from these surfaces, you know, from locations, and you have a machine throws them at the same exact time, you could get this same result where there'd be places where the balls all hit at the same time and places where they don't, and it'd be 50-50. And it's exactly how it comes out, right? I mean, well, not it, obviously the bands, the ons are a little bit bigger than the offs in the sense that you're either getting in phase or you're going out of phase. So, you know, you can be a percentage, you can be, you know, almost in phase, and then you can be, you know, a lot out of phase. And almost in phase is the same as being in phase. It works. Photon shows up. So there's a latitude there. But it's a 50-50 chance. All the energy, the same amount of balls are going to hit the surface, the same number you threw from here, okay, all the balls you threw, the same number is going to hit the surface. And all you're really saying is the ones you're counting are the ones that landed at the location at the same phase, the same time, and they knock something over. But if they didn't land at the same time in this location, they don't knock anything over. I mean, it's that simple. Same energy, same impact. It's just that one's a visible photon and one's a not. And it's that simple, really. So they tell the story, and they tell it in a very narrow way so they can make a wave argument. But if you really look at it, waves don't make any sense. So I guess I'll just draw quickly how it doesn't make any sense to think of it as waves. It's not a good theory. It fails credulity. All right. That should be dry enough. All right. So even in the single slit, so even if we do just a single slit, it, mathematically, okay, they create a pattern. But they don't really, they're not really honest to the real pattern. So the real pattern does have this double in the center. All right. Now they have no way to account for that with a wave theory. All right. Just no chance. Single wave going like this can't possibly make a pattern. Right. So their math is essentially conceding it's not a single wave. They need two point sources. So what they do is they say, what's the distance? Okay, they don't, you know, why are they doing the distance of the surfaces to create two waves? So the distance, you know, they're not analyzing one wave, they're analyzing two waves at this distance from each other. So they're not even conceding what is obvious in their math, that they bisect the wave. So the waves are really drawn, if you were to draw it to do the geometry, you'd have to draw the center of the wave at the surfaces. That's the distance that works. So that'll get you the right answer. All right, might get you, you know, in trouble for drawing pornography, but whatever. All right, and so, but even if you do these two waves and you do this geometry for these two waves, it's not going to give you this double here in the center, but they just ignore that. So they never show it drawn all the way out because they can't explain this. Okay, this isn't explained in the math at all. They just cheat. You know, in the math, they use another thing to just change that, you know, instead of starting at zero and going one, two, three, you know, zero, one, two, three, they do one. You know, they kill the zero. So when they do the two slit, it's a zero. They start at zero. When they do the single slit, they start at one. And that allows them to have the same one in both locations. One going this way, so you have one, two, three, and then two, three. See, so the same one is in the same location twice. So that's how they turn this, that's how they make it work mathematically. Where if they started with a zero, it wouldn't work. But anyway, so they don't even in this single slit, even in this simple experiment, they're cheating perception, because this isn't how they draw it. Okay, they just won't draw the real reason why there's an interference pattern. Is because if you're going to do the geometry, it's two point sources. Okay, it's two of this, right? They draw the wave, but you can understand a wave as just, you know, scatter creates a wave, right? If I throw baseballs and I throw at the same speed and I throw at different directions, you know, you'll get this, you know, and you can call that a wave front. But it's not a wave, right? And I throw a little harder and they'll go here. I throw a little harder and go here. I could just go it by time. You know, at 1 second, where are the balls? You know, and they'll all be here. And at 2 seconds, they'll be here. And at 3 seconds, I could do the same thing. I could make it look like a wave. It's not a wave, okay? It's just not. All right, so you can make a particle system look wavy, but it doesn't mean it has any wave functions or any wave features. All right, so this is their cheats, okay? So this math will get you a right answer. So just doing this simple thing, just saying this distance is the key variable in the math. There's no wave in the math. What math just has this variable and this variable, the length. And those two variables will tell you, okay, whether it's in phase or out of phase at a location. because you're basically just comparing two lines. You're just saying, what's the length of this line? What's the length of this line? And you can clearly see in those two lines there's a certain distance difference, and that distance difference will tell you exactly how many bars there are. So the wider you make the slit, the smaller you make the little bars, because there's obviously more wavelengths. You can fit more places where the two lines will be a wavelength of difference. You have this line, this line, this line, this line, this line, right? So the more, and they're each just made out of a segment, you know, a wavelength. All right, so then when you do the two slit, you know, the big cheat, again, is that they decide, okay, we're going to turn a four-source experiment, four surfaces, and we're just going to cheat and try to make it a two-source, two waves, right here in the center. So they use a distance, right, of the impediment. Now, when they do that, they're obviously not going to get the right answer unless these slits are tiny, okay? Because then you made this source and this source the same source, right? So if I make the slits really tiny openings, really tiny, you can understand that the two sources are so close to each other that it's just one source. You're essentially throwing the balls from exactly the same location because the two sources are so close to each other. So the only way they can make this work is they have to make these two surfaces so close that they become one source. One source. And they turn it back into, like I said, a single slit experiment. And then this will work. But the real distance is this distance is making the small little bars. Okay. And the smaller distance, the smallest distance, whether it be the slit opening or the impediment, is deciding the big envelope pattern that will be seen in. Okay. So it's that simple. Small distance is doing this. Small distance means very few places where you can have a wavelength of difference. Far distance, lots of places you can have a wavelength of difference. And it's that simple. And that's the real geometry. That's the real story. Whether you want to believe in ether and you want to believe all kinds of stuff, the point is you really have to understand that, yeah, this is really just, there's no interference here. There's just photons being made and photons being broken and then remade. You're just recombining the parts of the photon. And that works for all the polarization experiments because the polarizing filters aren't really destroying the photons. They're just breaking their phase. So all the energy goes through the polarizers. And it's just that the energy is either in a form that can be seen as a photon or in a form that can't be seen as a photon. And that's the only distinction. Again, the same energy, the same amount of baseballs is hitting the entire surface. Okay, the same little, same amount everywhere. And you're just saying, where are they in phase when they hit? Where are they out of phase? Where are they in phase? Where are they out of phase? Where are they in phase? Out of phase? And like I said, it's a 50-50. Once you break the photons, there's a 50-50 chance that they're going to be getting in phase or out of phase. And that's perfectly consistent with what happens. And it's kind of an indestructible argument, because again, if you want to say the double slit is waves, then you have to put that's the part I really wanted to draw. So I have a little room over here. So you're really saying that, if I'm going to make the double slit here, okay, that the wave would have to be here, and it'd have to be a wave here, and then it'd have to be a wave here, and then it'd have to be a wave here. In these idiotic locations, like half the wave would have to be over the surface, and the other half has to break in the center for no good reason. I mean, why would it break here in the center? There's nothing there. There's no, water won't do that. Water will break in the middle of an opening where there's no surface, nothing to cause friction, nothing to cause a change. So how could you possibly have waves with centers, okay, right on the surface? Because that's the only math that'll work. The wave has to have its center. You have to understand, the wave has a center. The center is the geometry. The geometry is from the center of the wave, right? The center of the wave is where all the lengths of the lines have to go from. And obviously it would be crazy to say that a wave is created here on the edge of the surface where it breaks here in the middle of nowhere for no reason, and somehow it goes over the surface. There's no way to create a wave that way. So it's a bad theory. I mean, if you put a little tiny, like a little edge on there, you know, and you could say, okay, I could cause a new wave to be created here because I created a new surface, you know, a little edge for the wave to break on. But that won't work because, you know, it'll work as a generator of noise, but it won't work in the sense that it'll be such a small percentage of the waves that you'll generate here that you wouldn't be able to create much of a pattern. But that would be a more honest statement. An acknowledgement that the wave is not coming out of the surface. The wave is being generated at the surface. So its center isn't the opening. Its center is the surface. And once you acknowledge that this is a surface experiment, it becomes kind of obvious that the particle model works much better than the wave model. That the surface is clearly, you could be understood as being atoms on the surface, and the atoms have a bunch of free electrons, and that what's really happening is some of the photons are traveling through a little field of electrons, and that field of electrons is causing deflections. So each photon piece travels through there. Some of them hit, some of them don't hit anything, go straight through, some of them hit 5 or 6 electrons to get bent quite a bit. And that's all that's happening. The electrons on the surface are creating an atmosphere, like the sun's corona, a dirty atmosphere. Okay, and the dirty atmosphere means the piece of the photon goes through and it's likely it's going to hit something. And it's likely when it does hit it, the electron has its own motion. The photon's motion, I guess I got room down here. The photon's motion is going to be changed because the electron it hits also has a motion. And those two motions will be combined and the photon will essentially be remade in the direction of the combined momentums. So it won't have its original direction. That's really easy to understand. All right. So, yeah. The subject that needs debate. And nobody wishes to argue it. No one can defend, I don't think, a wave model in light of the real evidence, the real experiments, what they really do. Again, they can't explain the double maxima in the center. The wave theory doesn't do doubles in the center in water waves or in any other kind of waves. And they certainly don't explain the real double slit experiment that has two patterns built into it. A two-wave theory, Young's 1901 drawing, will not account for that pattern. It has no ability to account for it. Waves going through, okay, being created in the center of an opening, cannot make an accurate prediction. You know, they're all about accurate predictions. Well, that model won't accurately predict, and that's a fact. And it's a fact they lie about, in the sense that they claim it does, when it clearly doesn't. Doesn't work. And again, it only works if they basically turn the double slit experiment into the single slit by making the point sources so close to each other that you can't see the difference between the two locations. Just like I could take two people and put them close together and at a great distance, all you see is one person. All right. That's enough, I think. So there needs to be a counter argument that points out where I made a mistake here somewhere, where something said in this video is inaccurate and it isn't consistent with the facts and it isn't consistent with every experiment done and all of that crap, when it is. Okay. And, it just proves their whole, and again, this experiment is what they're using. They're claiming that the photons, the pieces of the photon, however you want to look at it, in air are interfering with each other becoming entangled, which is even more nonsense, and then somehow get de-entangled when they hit the surface. When we know some of them are hitting air molecules, they're hitting electrons, they're hitting all kinds of stuff all the time. And those things happen to be transparent, and so the photon makes it through okay. So how did it not get de-entangled when it did that? You know, so, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The whole entanglement argument doesn't make any sense if you think gravity is a real thing. Because if you think gravity is a real force, things are being de-entangled all the time. They could never be entangled for more than just the tiniest bit of motion, because the universe is taking a picture of them all the time. It's hitting them with stuff, and it can't hit it if it doesn't have a location. Obviously, it has to be in a location to be hit. All right. Well, anyway. So, I'm just saying, will there be any counter-argument? Will any one of these shysters, these religious kooks for science, have the integrity to attempt to make a counter-argument? And again, I'll pay them to do it, but they won't show up. They're so evil, in the sense that they just want to support the religion, and they have absolutely no interest in the truth. And this is tragic. And it's tragic that the audience doesn't care either. The people watching don't care. Yeah, it just sucks. So anyway, enough of video and such. So I guess we'll do... I mean, we can do the bent light in the other circumstance, right? But it's the same argument, basically. You can't bend photons. They have to hit something to be changed. They don't hit each other. They don't hit gravity. They don't hit magnetism. They don't hit electricity. They hit atoms. They hit electrons, specifically. That's the only way you can change their direction, is they have to interact with a piece of matter. It's such a simple principle, and somehow physics didn't get it. You know, they didn't get that memo, but it's a pretty strong assertion that I don't think any experiments could prove otherwise, or demonstrate otherwise, or indicate otherwise. Blah, 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 blah. All right, let's just rephrasing the argument. Physics is founded on garbage, on rubbish, on lies. These are lies, essentially. It doesn't work. Their silly drawings don't work. Their young, two-slit pattern crapola is just that, crap. It's not honest. It's not accurate. It's not right for them to say they've proven. It's nowhere close, and they're just liars. There's no nail in the coffin evidence. There's just fake nails, you know, and a lot of fake hammering. Yeah, it's not exactly brilliantly articulate, but whatever, you know. Anyway, so this has been at draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but no one will debate, no one. There's just not a single person in 10 years of interaction can show up and make the counter-argument in any kind of on-the-subject manner. No one. It's disgraceful. It really is. Yeah, it fits the definition of the word. It's disgraceful. Physics is humiliating itself by being so cowardly.